Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is Thursday, May 19th, 2022. As always, thank you to Ron Trammell and the Cats Tribute Band for our intro music. And a special thank you today to Jackie Byram for her assistance in arranging today's program. Summertime temperatures are beginning to arrive here in Nashville, and that being said, spring is still moving forward. We are harvesting lettuce and radishes from the garden, and many of our perennial wildflowers are coming into bloom. And here in the Green Hill section of Nashville, the birds have been a special delight this spring. In our backyard, we have an active bluebird nest with two adults, working overtime shuttling bits of food for their new chicks. And we've been entertained by a pair of adult barred owls, hunting 24/7 to feed what we think are three or four babies. They were having flight tests in our backyard this week. The young owls are losing their fuzz and getting real feathers. And as it happens, today's podcast is also about birds. At this time of the year, in our little section of the world, migratory birds are on the move. This massive annual migration from south to north is not noticed for the most part by the casual citizen, because it mostly happens at night. And we continue to learn more about bird behaviors and certain human activities which pose a threat to bird health. A group of bird enthusiasts here in Nashville have started an organization called Bird Safe Nashville. And this group has numerous things on its to-do list. First among them is a project called Lights Out Nashville. As you will hear, because most migratory birds travel at night, the lights of the city have been observed to confuse the birds such that birds will often collide with buildings and sometimes die. This group is encouraging thoughtful homeowners and businesses to turn off or turn down the lights at night during this migratory season. My guest today, Melinda Welton and Kim Bailey, are highly qualified birders and are here to talk with us about this important new effort in Nashville, aimed at increasing bird awareness and protecting the birds. And so I hope you'll enjoy this conversation with Melinda Welton and Kim Bailey. And we will get started right after this brief message.
Hi, this is Heather Lose, Editor-in-Chief of the Tennessee Conservationist Magazine. Every year, we publish six beautiful issues packed full of timely and informative stories about Tennessee culture, people, and places. You can stay informed about your world and all the great things happening in your Tennessee state parks. It's easy to subscribe. Just go to our website at tnconservationist.org. Thank you.
Welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast, Kim Bailey and Melinda Welton.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to say, this is the first time we've done a live and in-person interview in about 18 months because of the pandemic and such. So it's wonderful to welcome you to my house and garden, and it's going to be fun to talk.
Oh, I agree.
So I want to get right to the topic at hand, which is the Bird Safe Nashville promotion that you all are doing and program that you're doing. But as we get started, it's traditional for me to talk to my guests about themselves and their backgrounds and why we're here. And Melinda, can we start with you? Tell us about yourself and your interest in birding and your background.
Well, I am bird biologist. I have worked with state government in the past. I've done a lot of contract work, especially in Tennessee, working on protection of habitat for the cerulean warbler, a species of conservation concern. Mm-hmm. And I've been a bird watcher for, 40 years.
So this is just, is this an avocation or have you have professional training in this?
Yeah, I have a master's in this. Yeah.
Excellent. Super. And I know just because we have so many friends in common, you're on the board of 10 Green organization?
Yeah, 10 Green Land Conservancy.
Right.
And, you know, that's all about protecting habitat and clean water and places that people can get outside and enjoy.
Excellent. And Kim, tell us about yourself.
Okay, I was a naturalist at Warner Park Nature Center for 25 years, and I just retired last September. And that is, I can truly point to Warner Park as being the beginning of my love of birds, because there's a banding station there that Sandy Bivens started years ago. And I used to watch the banders and was curious, but it really was a trip to Costa Rica that absolutely created my love of birds, because they were so spectacular there. And I had kind of come into my work being really into mammals and insects and trees, and I came back from that trip and it was all about the birds, and I couldn't learn fast enough. So since then, I've been avidly learning my birds and helping with bird research and doing what I can to protect them.
Where you were a naturalist at the park, at Warner Park.
Yes.
And for how many years were you there?
25.
Okay. And what was your training before you had that?
You know, I have a master's in ecology, and so I've always been interested in their connections between everything, and I truly love just about everything except for ticks and brown recluse and mosquitoes.
Yeah.
If they don't hurt me, I don't want to hurt them. So I'm kind of known at the park for trying to protect everything.
Super. Well, all right. Let's talk about why we're here today. There's a problem. The problem is bird strikes. And tell us about that problem.
Well, birds in general in North America are declining at an alarming rate. And one of the ways that we can, you know, personally and as a community, reduce some of the threats that they are facing is to be turning lights out at night and protecting, putting protection on your windows so that they're not hitting your windows during the day.
You know, in preparation for this meeting and for this conversation, Jackie Byram sent me a bunch of materials. And one of the things that she sent me was the address or the information that is on dashboardbirdcast.info. So people listening, write that internet address down, dashboard.birdcast.info, and check out this resource that tells you about the birds that are migrating over your particular location each night.
Well, you can even just Google Birdcast.
All right.
And I printed off a page that is migration over Nashville on May 15th. And almost a million birds, 997,000 birds flew over Nashville. A million birds over Davidson County.
And this is part of the annual migration.
Yes.
Of international migration, birds coming from South America that go all the way up sometimes into Alaska, into northern
to the
regions
Arctic, yeah.
of North America. So it's an annual migration of birds.
Yes, and one thing that inspired this whole project was Chicago started 20 years ago studying the impact of their buildings on birds, and they've found in the last 20 years 30,000 birds have been killed by bird strikes. And that's a lot of birds in 20 years. And then Philadelphia in 2020 had an overnight bird strike mortality in the thousands, and
my
their
goodness.
Birds were littering the streets. And Audubon saw the need for this Lights Out program, because the lights on in a city will distract the birds and
right.
disorient them.
And the birds generally are moving at nighttime rather than during the day.
Yes, 70% migrate of all species, which is pretty large number, and then 80% of those migrate at night.
Right.
So it's a huge number of birds.
Right. And do we know, what is it that causes the confusion? Or we just observe that there is confusion?
There is confusion.
Right.
We have been able to document that bright lights, especially when the birds are coming down to land before dawn. They can get disoriented. They're looking for a place to sleep and to forage for the next day, and they're attracted to the lights, perhaps.
Right.
Well, whatever.
Right. And What is the season for migrating? When does it sort of begin and when does it sort of end?
It depends on where you're located. We have identified March through May, okay. and August through October is the peak season.
The peak times, okay.
Yes. So those are the times we're asking buildings to turn their lights off.
Okay. So now you said that there was almost a million birds that flew over on this particular day that you... How do we know that there's that many?
Well, the geniuses at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology have been able to do this this prediction, and I guess I don't know okay. all of the science okay. that they are using,
okay.
But they're able to, using radar tracking and all, they can see even the altitude that the birds are flying at, and you can see that they are taking off just after sunset, they're landing before dawn, and that's where the...
So radar is the primary
yeah.
mode of
yes.
knowing. And I know that some of the bird banding that's going on, from talking to Laura Cook, some of the bird banding today, there are electronics loaded into the bands that can be sensed by receivers of some
yes.
sorts.
Yes, that we're putting on little backpacks so that they can... There's receivers in different places. We have one at the park and one downtown, and right. they will pick up their travels.
Right. And so we've actually had some observations of some interesting birds from that program recently, haven't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're excited about putting more on purple martins this year to see what's going to happen with them, where
okay.
they're going.
All yep. right. So the point of this program that you all are doing is to turn lights out. And what efforts are being made to get commercial buildings to do this? Tell us about what you're doing.
Well, the first thing that happened was we'd like to give Jackie Byram and Stacy Elliott credit for two avid birders who aren't, that's not their profession, but they came to Laura Cook and said, we want to work on this, and Melinda and I got involved. And so it was really amateur birders that got this started. But we came together and started talking, and we thought this would take a long time to happen. But I contacted Berkeley Allen, who is a councilwoman at large here in Nashville, and I knew her. And she's an avid nature lover, so she agreed to sponsor the resolution. And it passed with, I think, 14 other people signing on. And the mayor just signed the resolution May 5th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the mayor encourage people to do? In the resolution?
Turn off unessential, non-essential lights between dawn and dusk, or between dusk and dawn.
And
the first company that, or the, yeah, first building that signed up for doing this, wanted to participate, is Bridgestone.
Oh, good.
And they have that very large building downtown, and they're even going to be turning off those lovely red highlights on the building. Birds are also attracted to red lighting.
What's that? Say that again now?
Oh, the trim on the Bridgestone building
okay.
has red lights.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're even going to turn those off because birds can be attracted to the red lights. And we've been in touch with 9 other companies to see if the property managers will also sign up for this program.
Super.
This project.
Go ahead.
I've talked to Tom Turner at the Downtown Partnership, and he has agreed to help contact buildings. The mayor's office is also working with the Downtown Partnership. So we're excited about hopefully engaging that community and getting them excited about it.
I guess it's also important for just individual homeowners to do this as well.
Yeah, especially at dawn when birds are settling in to forage after, you know, flying perhaps a couple hundred miles. And neighborhoods are great places in Nashville. We've got, you know, a lot of good vegetation, and by keeping the lights off, the birds can land safely.
Fantastic.
And carry on.
And particularly residential towers, that is one of our goals to contact residents there, because that's an individual decision.
Oh, yeah,
so
tall,
apartment building towers.
Right, the condos,
so,
yes.
Because they found
it's especially
that,
important.
That particularly with any kind of storm or cloud cover, that the lights, the birds fly lower and the lights disorient them. You know, they have geomagnetic compasses within them. We're still trying to understand exactly how they migrate. But when they're below the clouds, they really get thrown off anyway, and light attracts them. So many birds, in addition to collisions with glass, will just die from exhaustion, or they'll land in the middle of the city and be exposed to other threats in the urban environment.
So interesting. You know, I spoke with a friend the other day and was letting her know that we were going to be doing this program, and she was not aware that there was this migration that happened each year. It seems a very basic thing. The birds migrate. I guess people are aware, you know, that ducks and geese migrate, but not so much about songbirds and other birds of that type. What sorts of birds would be coming through Nashville at this time of the year that you wouldn't ordinarily see?
Well, there's a whole range of warblers, some of which are very beautiful, and they're small, and they sing, and the better you're able to learn bird songs, the more you realize that the trees are quite alive. There are vireos, there are flycatchers, there's a number of birds that they don't stop here, but folks also realize that their gardens or walking around Radnor, it sounds different in the spring and summer as those migrants come and start breeding here.
Now, and where do they come from and where are they going?
Some from Costa Rica. Yeah, from some as far as South America.
Right.
A few will fly directly across the Gulf of Mexico from Colombia. Most will take a stop in Central America for a few days, for, you know, a week perhaps, charge up again. And if the weather is good, they'll fly hundreds of miles inland, some landing in Tennessee as their first stop.
And it's important in Nashville for them to have places to stop and, as you say, forage. So get a little bit of nourishment before they head further north.
Yeah.
All right. And where are they headed to in the north? And what are they going to be doing up there?
A lot of them stop in the Appalachians, like in the Smoky Mountains or anywhere along the Appalachian chain, or go up to the boreal forest in northern U.S. and Canada.
Okay.
So it depends on the species. Some will stop here. And really, in the last few years, I've discovered more and more species that actually some are here because I've learned their calls, and I'll hear them, you know, later than I would expect if they were migrating.
And they're going north for breeding and just for a change of pace, I guess.
No, no, the whole deal has to do with breeding.
With breeding.
Nesting.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Most of these birds probably are insectivores. And so they're going north where the insects are going to be great this summer. And they, you know, it takes an astonishing number of caterpillars to feed your nestlings. I was trying to look up the number before I came. It's in the thousands per nestling. So, insects are really good food source and habitat is what they're coming here for.
So your endeavor that you're working with, Bird Safe Nashville, has its own website. Is that right?
Yes, we are a fledgling organization.
Okay. Thanks to Finn Goodwin Bain, who is a Belmont student, who has created the website and is working with us. He's doing his documentary senior project, I believe, on this project.
So I would encourage listeners to go to that website to get the most updated information about what's going on with this program.
Yeah. We continue to build the website. Like you said, we are a fledgling organization, and we are building all the different components and tools. As you saw, there's a poster that we've produced. And interestingly, on the poster is a beautiful little bird, and it's the Nashville Warbler.
Nashville Warbler.
We have a bird that is named after this town because back in the 1800s, that's where it was collected first. It doesn't breed here.
Oh.
It only passes through. But we're going to be keeping that as one of our signature images.
Got you. Well, that's very cool. So what else is going on in the bird community here in Nashville? If listeners are interested in learning about birds, and taking part in activities about birds and ornithology, where do they go? Where are the resources for people?
Well, I would recommend Warner Park. They offer bird hikes, and there's a bird banding station there, and it is open to the public. It's one of the, you know, fairly small number of educational bird banding stations, so you can call and get their schedule. TOS,
yeah.
You can speak to.
Yeah, the, okay, the banding station.
TOS.
Yeah, Tennessee Ornithological Society.
Okay, all right.
And it's the Nashville chapter.
Okay.
And it's a great organization. There are programs the third Thursday of every month, and we are starting to have our meetings in person at Radnor Lake Visitor Center. And in the spring and the fall, we also offer bird hikes at Radnor, and for the spring we've finished up, but it's great fun. There are experienced birders that help new birders, and I also recommend what Kim said about the banding station. There's nothing like seeing a bird up close to really spark some joy.
That's so true.
And this is an opportunity for a person to observe for a while, but then also to get hands-on and participate.
Only if they commit to being a long-term volunteer.
Okay.
But you can come, you know, observe for sure. And,
all right.
And we usually, if the bird's not breeding, if they're breeding, we want to let them go immediately after being banded. But if not, then they have a chance to look for a few minutes and take pictures.
Got you.
I also want to talk about the other nature centers. I would check the schedule for Bell's Bend and Beeman and Shelby. They offer bird hikes as well. And really, just talking to any naturalist there, you can ask questions. And then
Shelby Bottoms also has banding.
Yes, Shelby Bottoms
Nature
is
Center.
Doing banding now too.
Okay.
Yes. And then we are seeking to grow, really. This is our first initiative, but our goal is to have Nashville be a city where birds thrive, whether they're migratory or residential. So we are going to be tackling bird-friendly glass next. And
wait, say that again.
Bird-friendly glass.
Oh, yes.
You can tell us what you did for your windows.
I will. Bird-friendly glass, the problem being that birds in flight have difficult time perceiving glass, and you'll have bird strikes into windows, and if the bird hits hard enough, it'll kill them.
Yeah, most folks have heard that horrid thud of a bird hitting glass. Because birds can't perceive the glass. If you walk outside different times of the day and you look at your windows, it's reflecting the sky,
sure.
The trees next door. The birds think it's a safe place to pass. And not every window in your house is likely to be as dangerous as others. So there are several treatments that can be applied to those windows. There's a showcase of these different techniques at the Shelby Bottoms Nature Center.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And you can also go online to the American Bird Conservancy, and they have a section on threats. You go down, it's bird strikes, and there is a list, not only materials that a homeowner can use, but what in new construction, what kinds of glass can be incorporated, bird-friendly design.
A couple of years ago, I was out at Warner Park Nature Center in the newly renovated library building.
Yes.
And Laura and I sat down and had an interview there about your bluebird program there. But I noticed that the windows in that room had little blue dots on the windows. And I inquired what those were about, and Laura told me that they were there to present an image for a bird so as to avoid a bird strike.
Right. They feel like they, you know, if they can see dots that are 2 inches apart, I believe, then they don't think they can pass through.
Right.
It gives them a visual, so it's not a clear reflection.
Right. And so I purchased some of those dots.
They're feather friendly.
The name of them? I've forgotten that. But I think my recollection is I purchased them at the Nature Center.
Yes, we do not sell them anymore.
Okay.
But you can get them online.
Okay. Not too difficult to install, but we've noticed a real reduction in the number of bird strikes on our double-door glass windows that we would get frequent strikes. So an important thing to do. So this is bird safe windows.
Or bird-friendly windows.
Bird-friendly windows, okay.
So there's a lot involved. We haven't kicked that off yet. There's a lot going on in the bird community right now. With the many issues going on, we've decided to apply to be an urban bird treaty city. And that is a cool program that can bring in federal funding. It's run by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. But all that's to say that BirdSafe Nashville began in January with a small goal. And we have at least gotten the mayor to sign it. Our next goal is to get businesses really involved with that commitment. And Jackie is doing a lot of work with that. We do have a lot of businesses looking at that right now. So hopefully by fall migration, we'll have that completely in place. And we'll be working on the Urban Bird Treaty program as well as Bird Friendly Glass.
And I guess that means you're going to have us back.
You know, birds are something that many people care about. And I find that when we have done programs about birds, and we've done a couple, one was the bluebird one, and also we did one last year about the purple martins issue that's going on in Nashville, which was so fascinating and interesting. But those are some of among the most listened to of our podcasts. The people tune in. They're interested in the birds.
Well, I tell folks that they are an endless source of entertainment. Whether you're just looking at the birds at your bird feeder and don't even know their names, it's just a very, very fun, fulfilling experience. Or if you're going to Costa Rica, I mean, you can get really, really excited.
Right.
There is an app that has been developed, again, by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology that is excellent for new birders. It's called Merlin, and you can download it for free. And it will help you, if you see a bird, it will help guide you through four questions that will narrow down the number of species that the bird you're seeing could be, and they show you a list of photos, and you click on "That's my bird," and it'll give you some information. Part of that app also helps you identify birds by sound, which is revolutionary. This just became available about 6 months ago, and it
has changed my life because
me too.
One day I turned it on in my backyard, because if you start paying attention, you will notice in spring you've got a lot more going on than you realize. And yellow warbler came up, and I thought, I need to let them know that they don't know what they're doing. And I mean, a yellow warbler popped up in my tree, and I about fell over. So it's a great way to start listening and learning your bird songs.
So that application is called Merlin.
Yeah, Merlin.
Yeah, and wow, it's a powerful thing.
Oh,
I actually saw that for the first time
this past
weekend. We were walking in Cincinnati at a park along the Little Miami River.
Uh-huh.
And as you say, this is an ideal place for migratory birds to stop and rest. And my friend who had that app on her phone identified several birds just by sound. They were in trees and you couldn't actually visually
mm-hmm.
see them.
Yes, yeah.
But they were clearly there, and they're clearly sounds that we wouldn't have associated with birds that we hear normally around. They weren't cardinals and that sort of thing. They were noises we weren't accustomed to.
When you focus on bird sounds, you'll be surprised how many different ones are around you.
We used to have a class, or I'm sure they still do, a class with children where we would have them sit quietly and count the number of birds they were hearing and distinguish them, and it really opened their eyes to what was going on around them. And when you ask about the magic of birds, I think of the wood thrush song, and it's often called the most beautiful song of the birds. When I'm in a forest and I hear that song, it instantly creates this ethereal song. Ethereal feeling of just magic when it sings. So a lot of people have gotten into birds during COVID because they were
sure.
at home. And I've met a lot of young people who's like 20-something who are like, now I'm into birds and I'm paying attention. So It's a free activity too.
That's right.
Except for binoculars, which really help. It's something you can just go do for free.
What can ordinary homeowners do to enhance bird opportunities in their yards, in their homes?
Plant trees, plant native vegetation. There's Doug Tallamy has written a book, several books that show the connection between plants, native plants, and insects, and anything that eats insects, which is just about everything. So it's very important to do native plantings. And of course, we've talked about the dots you can put on your windows when you're getting bird strikes, reducing your lights at night. Can you think of anything else?
Oh, planting flowers that pollinators like and hummingbirds.
Right.
Yeah. There's.
You know, one of the things I think about is maybe things that they shouldn't do or they should avoid doing, putting poison on their yard.
Yes.
Oh, good point.
Absolutely. No pesticides. Right. We actually have a very healthy section of lawn that we haven't used pesticides for years, and I'm not sure how it's working so far, but it's a little... I can't think of the word. It's a compromise. There you go. With my husband for to have some lawn and some native plants, and it's working well so far. Lots of wildlife there.
We have not put chemicals on our lawn in a long, long, long time, and we have a weedy, weedy lawn. It's terrible, full of weeds. As you say, it's a compromise. But we do have healthy birds in our little neighborhood here.
And actually, you could rephrase that and say you have a bee-friendly lawn.
A lot of people are talking about bee-friendly lawns
right now.
Sure. Well, okay, let's wind up and let's recharge and get back to the main point of our meeting, and that is the
Bird Safe Nashville. Yes.
And the program to encourage people to turn their lights off at night.
It saves energy, and like I said, especially at dawn when birds are landing and in glass lights, they disorient the birds. And then the other, which is the next initiative that we'll be encouraging, is for folks to protect their windows from killing birds.
Well, all right. I would encourage people to get on your website, Bird Safe Nashville, and there you will be able to keep up with the goings-on of this new initiative.
And we're asking people to go onto our website and sign a pledge.
Oh, good, good, good.
And if you know anybody that owns a building, help us out, because we're trying to get every building in Nashville to turn their lights out, particularly upper floors and any kind of spotlights that shoot up into the sky. Mm-hmm. So we need this to be passed on to everybody you know.
Well, thanks again to Jackie Byram for getting us together.
And she's encouraging a dynamo.
She is a dynamo. And to the mayor for his signing the proclamation.
Excellent.
And to all those that have been involved in that. And thanks to the two of you for joining me today in this podcast.
This has been fun.
Thank you. It has been.
We'll get back together soon.
Good. Okay. Excellent.